Hello, I'm Don Cleese, and welcome to the first Culture Sonar podcast. In the old days of radio, this would be what's called an audition show, an episode designed to show the powers that be that the concept for a program works. In this media environment, the powers that be are the listeners, so if you're listening to this and would like to hear more, please let us know. As we often do at Culture Sonar, today we're going to talk about a familiar topic from a less familiar angle. Even in a year that already feels like it's been orchestrated by the Grim Reaper, the recent death of Prince came as a shock. As with the passing of David Bowie in January, most mainstream commentary tended to focus on a few obvious elements to tell a soundbite-friendly story, leaving a great deal of their work unexplored. For Prince, the Purple Rain soundtrack looms the largest, and anyone who didn't already know better could come away thinking that he never made another album of consequence in three decades after that. It's the nature of a blockbuster album to warp perceptions of everything that follows it in an artist's body of work. That's as true of Rumours, Thriller, or any album that defined a moment in popular music, as was the case with Purple Rain. Even Sign of the Times, for all its critical acclaim, never electrified audiences on the same scale. Over time, the narrative became that Prince tried but failed to recapture the magic of Purple Rain with a string of disappointing albums along the way that are only remembered for their hit singles, if at all. In short, there were just enough moments of brilliance to reinforce the idea of unfulfilled potential. Like most shortcuts to thinking, though, that narrative isn't just simplistic. It's fundamentally flawed. It rests on the premise that Prince was trying to recapture lightning in a bottle. But as lightning never strikes twice in the same place, Prince was too smart, and probably too restless, to attempt such a thing in the first place. Instead, his subsequent albums, particularly through the Love Symbol album in 1992, each seemed to be about capturing a different sort of lightning. That's certainly true of his second soundtrack album, 1986's Parade, which contained music from his less successful movie, Under the Cherry Moon. Like Under the Cherry Moon, Parade seems like it was probably fun to make. However, where Under the Cherry Moon is also hard to watch, its soundtrack album is highly enjoyable. From the ornate opening track, Christopher Tracy's Parade, this is the sound of an artist testing new approaches, if not necessarily their own limits. Compared to the sense of drama that characterized the Purple Rain soundtrack, that approach might have made Parade seem less significant. Certainly the album's biggest hit, Kiss, didn't tug at the soul on the level of When Doves Cry or even Let's Go Crazy, which may have further reinforced that impression. Either way, it's unfair to criticize any album for not being something it was never intended to be, rather than what it actually is. As for Kiss, there's a lot going on lyrically amid the spare musical arrangement, and along with the two songs that follow it, it makes about as strong a case for Prince's artistry as virtually anything he's done. Kiss segues into Another Lover Hole in Your Head. The song is a hybrid of impassioned plea and thoughtful musing. It's almost a companion piece to Kiss, showing that he can make his case whether the lover is coming in or walking out the door. He saves the best for last with the album's final song, Sometimes It Snows in April. Though the song clearly reflects events from Under the Cherry Moon, it's a moving ballad in its own right. As album closers go, it's also far removed from the Sturm und Drang of Purple Rain's title song.
Sometimes it snows in April. Sometimes I feel so bad, so bad. Sometimes
at the time, a lot of fans probably wondered if Prince was capable of making another album like that. Based on Sometimes It Snows in April and the rest of Parade, it seems the simple answer was that he didn't have to be. Parade, like many of his albums that followed, was great on its own terms. The only terms Prince ever really seemed to care about. Next time we'll look at more of Prince's work for movies. His soundtrack album for Tim Burton's 1989 Batman film was his biggest seller after Purple Rain. But does it really count as a Prince album? While you ponder that, I'll thank you for listening and remind you that if you want to hear more podcasts like this, please let us know. For Culture Sonar, I'm Don Cleese.